This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture. I am Lee Tree Lin. Medical disabilities seem to cover a broad range of conditions, but whatever it is, it's inevitably life-changing and affects singular lives as well as the workforce in general. Explaining more about medical disability and assessment of damages is Professor Nathan Vithilingam, who is also the president of the Asia-Pacific Occupational Therapy Regional Group and is a professor of occupational therapy at Padana University, and Kay Siladas, who is a lawyer who specializes in this area. So, to start us off, perhaps you could both just tell us what kind of work do you both do within this area?
Well, Mr. Das, maybe you'd like to go on.
Well, I'm a practicing advocate and solicitor. Well, I deal with accident matters and look into the pros and cons that arise from time to time and still continue to see how best we can find a uniform system for damages, assessing damages.
Well, I've been in the last 40 years in the field of occupational therapy. I'm actually used to practice as an occupational therapist, still do, and I'm at the moment in an academic line, basically teaching in the area of occupational therapy. Obviously, my area of interest has always been on people with medical disabilities in relation to outcome of function. I mean, function is the most important area. Basically, the aspect of looking at international classification of function, whether somebody is able to live independently, whether it's able to go get into society, and obviously the third most important thing is looking at work point of view. So that's how I would classify my nature of job.
And what constitutes medical disability exactly?
It's a broad area. Medical disability in the context that I think if you look at in Malaysia, the main thing is due to road traffic accidents. Obviously, you can have a medical disability due to illness processes, i.e. stroke or a neurological condition. It could be also, a child at the time of delivery and that sort of thing. But I think here today, we're looking at medical disability in relation to accidents.
Accidents, I mean, largely. Mainly accident matters, accident cases, where the victim suffers from serious injuries. And that will be the basis of disability from which we move on to claim damages and things like that.
I guess the injury here is accidents partly because the outcome you're looking at in terms of accidents is very often need to be looked at in the functional evaluation and assessment point of view.
Yes, that comes later.
Yeah.
Because the basis is the accident, road accident, and then the victim has suffered injuries, and then you go on to move on to see to what extent or how severe the injuries are and how it affects the functional aspects of the victim.
And in this case, I suppose we're also referring particularly to things that are truly accidents, not necessarily things that would have happened in the course of your employment, for example.
No, that's right. Because that's a different area altogether.
All right. So what criteria then is used to define somebody who would qualify or who would fall under medical disability? Professor, you were talking earlier about function.
Yeah. I think when you talk about medical disability, very often, you know, in this context, we're looking at the motor vehicle accident. We always tend to look at the physical disability, not realizing that also the psychological impact because of injury outcomes. You know, that's another area which seems to be very often forgotten about. If you're looking at medical disability, the motor vehicle accident, so you have got two components here, looking at physical disability, and you're looking at psychological disability, which also finally leads on to the, in terms of sociological implications in relation to the disability itself. So when it comes to relation to coming to court in relation to accident claims, we need to have it in a holistic point of view of evaluating a person, because the outcome is nothing but function and back to society to work.
And Mr. Das, from a legal point of view, you know, how do people assess when somebody falls into this bracket? Does it involve occupational therapists, or, you know, what do the courts look at when they're trying to see if somebody qualifies for this?
Basically, I mean, they look at the nature of the injuries. So we need the medical evidence and the medical specialist medical opinion as to the extent of the injuries and the disabilities that follow. Now, from that, yes, we assess. In fact, we cannot assess we can only quantify. The nature of the injuries themselves lead to quantification. So we look at the measure of damages, and that we submit to court. In most cases, we try to negotiate and get the thing settled. But where the cases are difficult, then we go to court. And disability is one aspect which will be the main bulk of the claim. Besides the pain and suffering from the severe injuries the victim has suffered, right? So, if you ask me what is the criteria, is it the criteria looking for?
Well, along those lines, you know, how do you decide, I suppose, how does the court decide or quantify these things?
They will look at the nature of the injuries, the extent of the injuries, and the extent of the disabilities the victim has suffered, and to what extent he could be employed in the future, his family life, and what the loss of amenities. All this come from the disability he has suffered as a result of the accident.
This sounds like a relatively time-consuming process, just because, you know, you need a person to come back to, I guess, the fullest of their abilities in order to be able to assess how it's affected their life. So how long does that process usually take, where you're able to reasonably say this is how it's affected you and this is how it might affect your future?
From the date of the accident, we have to gather all the information regarding to the injuries and the prognosis and everything. That will take anything between 3 to 4 months or 5 months. But where the injuries are severe, it may take longer time, because we cannot get the final assessment or the assessment of the injuries or the effect of the injuries. So by and large, if you take in a normal circumstances, it will take anything between about 9 months to settle the claim if it goes to court. That involves mediation by the court itself. But where the injuries are very, very severe, it may also go lead up to a year or two, because we do not know the actual
outcome,
the degree of the disability.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, it's the outcome that you're looking at, the functional point of view. I mean, I think the question that you're asking is, how do occupation therapists play a role? I think the first point is when, I'm sure Mr. Das will agree, the first point is when there's an injury in a motor vehicle accident, the initial reports are written by medical doctors,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if it's I think the best is that we take a case scenario, someone who's had an injury and has a spinal cord injury, or has lost one of his legs because it had to be amputated. Now, the doctor will write a report on saying that this patient has got an injury because of the motor vehicle accident, what the injury constitutes, and saying that he was on treatment and point of view. Then comes the next part, which the lawyers want to know, what is he able to do? Can he independently live on his own?
Mm.
Whether he's able to get back to job, what was his social life point of view, and whether he's able to, because I have a spinal cord injury, I used to play football before, I can't play football, but does that mean that there is such thing as modification of sports and jobs as well? Then obviously the last point is whether he can get back to work, and if he can't get back to work, what's the possibility of him being rehabilitated to some form of vocation, you know, and looking at. So that's where the functional outcome report comes, and you need both. Am I right to say that?
Yes, correct. I mean, you need both. I mean, right from the diagnosis to prognosis and then the future. And that evidence can only come from the medical side. Now, once those reports are available, then we'll have to assess, measure the damages. To what extent he could go back, or to what extent he has suffered permanent disability, where he will be out of employment completely, or we will have to find out whether his disability is partial, and that also only the medical evidence can support such statements. Now, having done that, then we move on to see whether we can resolve the matter by negotiations. Invariably, we could settle. But when the claim is huge, where the injuries are very, very severe, as Professor Nathan said, they've been like paralyzed. And the family is affected. You know, family can be affected. Their livelihood would be affected.
Livelihood is affected as well.
So how do we address these issues? These are very difficult issues. And we cannot push. We cannot push. So if we push it to try to get a quick settlement, we may be doing injustice to the victim.
That's right.
Sitting in with me today is Professor Nathan Vithyalingam. He's the president of the Asia-Pacific Occupational Therapy Regional Group, and Kay Siladas, who's a lawyer. We're discussing medical disability and the assessment of damages. I'm interested in pursuing that thought earlier about how some things can only be found out a year or two from now, so we'll be talking about that coming up on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today is Professor Nathan Vithyalingam. He is a professor of occupational therapy at Padana University. He is also the president of the Asia-Pacific Occupational Therapy Regional Group. I also have with me Kay Siladas. He's a lawyer who specializes in this area. And we're talking about medical disability and the assessment of damages. So we've heard about the process, and it's quite a complicated one by the sounds of it. Obviously, the conditions of a medical disability can fluctuate with time. Different things occur, your life changes. How does the system and the medical fraternity, as well as the patient, prepare for that, or is there no way?
No, I think the first thing is, when you talk about medical disability, that once the person has gone through a trauma here and is coming out, obviously the next step would be to evaluate him and assess him to see what the outcomes is going to be. And the evaluation, as very often what is done is, it has to be, certain things has to be done on standardized assessments. For instance, somebody has got a head injury, and the neurosurgeon will be writing a report to say that he can't get, that he's got a memory issue, or he's got a perceptual issue, or he's a cognitive issue. This is where, when it comes to court, very often the lawyers are going to say, what extent has this person got a memory issue? What extent has this person got a perceptual issue? And this can be only done by standardized assessments. And we have got certain standardized tools that we use to assess, so that it's attached to the report and forwarded on to the report. And then, because I guess most advocates and solicitors, what they're going to ask is, how do you know that person has got a perceptual difficulty? To what extent? And that will help them in terms of the quantifying.
The quantification. But the problem is, sometimes we have this malingering, the victims themselves, because of the injury, they might not get better or cured very quickly because of, they call it the compensation neurosis. They think the longer I prolong this pain and suffering and all these things, I should be able to get a better compensation. Well, what the court can do is to give fair compensation, nothing more, nothing less. Now, and much depends on the victim himself or herself, whether she wants to get out of that predicament, that is the injury predicament, and come out into life and start life anew. Now that is where rehabilitation and all comes in. Now when rehabilitation comes in, the victim must be prepared to go through that exercise.
Go through the rehab process,
yes,
basically.
That process. Now, is the profession, the legal profession, the medical profession, and the stakeholders, that is insurance companies, are prepared to look at this?
Professor Nathan, I was also interested in finding that out exactly. How is the rehabilitative process like? What do you do as an occupational therapist?
Well, obviously, the main thing is a couple of aspects. One is you're looking at somebody's functional outcome in relation to their ability to live independently on its own. Obviously, the next factor, you're looking at the social outcome, see whether he's able to integrate into the community. That's the most important thing. And obviously looking at someone's job situation and vocational aspects and things. But I think the most important thing is here in an accident victim is early intervention. So that means someone I've met with an accident needs to go through a rehab process before even coming to a court process. So that when it comes to court, we say, look, he has gone through 6 months of rehab, intensive rehab, that's his, which is optimum level, and that is it. But when someone doesn't go through a process of rehab, goes to court, having, and then you, and you look at this guy, hey, this guy can improve if he had gone through a rehab process. So somewhere along the line, there seems to be a break in the court.
And there'll be an element of doubt as
There's an element of doubt. Because, and could also happen the other way around. Someone was not given the opportunity to go. Very often, it's not because of clinical setting or hospital setting, but very often it's because of financial reasons. He's unable to go. And that is where there's a need to look at the system. Am I right?
Yes.
To say that there's a need to say, okay, you have got a disability. You're going to go for rehab, 3 months process. Can the industry pay me a certain amount of quantum so that I can go for rehab? But if I don't get that opportunity, because I'm going to have problem transportation, I've got a problem of a family member taking me in there because they can't afford financially.
Very basic problems, in other words.
You see, like what Professor said was this element of doubt. Apart from element of doubt, there is also this element of incompleteness, you know. What I mean by that is, doubt is one thing. But here you have this victim who has not gone through this rehabilitation process. So the whole thing is incomplete. Now, the next thing is, yes, what are the facilities that are available currently? Currently, although the law is there to provide a leeway where these unfortunate people could make use of it and get some assistance by way of interim payment with the approval of the court, no effort is being made in that direction.
Where do people find this information? Do you find that many people come forward, you know, of their own volition and seek out legal help? Or, you know, at what point do they go to court? Because as you're saying now, you know, maybe a lot of people haven't even heard of this law that's meant to protect them.
Well, I think accident victims, the moment there is an accident, the lawyers are already there to take care of them, you see. I don't think there are lack of information, you know, the victims, although they may not get the information directly, but the lawyers themselves were fully equipped with that information. So they should be able to work on those procedures and take advantage of those provisions and help the victims. And insurance companies also must play their part, you know.
So when you're talking about, you know, there being a lack of facilities, so to speak, which facilities are you referring to here?
Lack of facilities, I mean, the facilities are there.
Right.
It is just ignoring those facilities. I would put it that way. It is ignoring those facilities.
So basically what you're saying is there is a law,
yes,
that gives me a certain amount of payment.
Yeah. See, for example, I mean, the Courts of Judicature Act 1964 provides for interim payments. So if the victim is so badly injured and he needs money for rehabilitation, for medicine, medical care or something like that, or for nursing care for that matter, you could go to court with all the evidence and convince the court, look here, this is it. Can I get some funds? And the court will be willing to help him. Now, why is this not done? So I would say, I won't blame the lawyers alone. I think the insurance companies too must play their part. Right? So if they can do that, and of course, the courts too must be receptive to this type of applications. Then we can see a society which is more rational.
And at the very start of this interview, Mr. Das, you referenced the work that you do towards creating a universal system.
A uniform system.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Do you feel that there isn't a uniform system currently in place?
I would think so. Because nowadays, the damages that are being awarded in court, that there seem to be no uniformity. Some 20 years ago, I mean, there was this uniformity. Yeah. They kept a lid on the damages. Now, the sky seems to be the limit, no limit at all. And it is very worrying.
And what's kind of led towards this sort of increase?
I think either the courts are very generous. I'm sorry to say this. Either the courts are very generous and the insurance industry is not taking care of what they should be doing. Are not very, very, very receptive to the real issues, and there may be a situation where the victims are also malingering and in saying things which are not true. You can look at it that way. And one, and the other thing is, nowadays, the injuries are also becoming very modern, very modern. With open and closing, but modern. Those days we only look at TB and fibula, head injury, a hand. Now we see a lot of new types of injuries are happening, occurring. So, and now the medical cost has gone up. Right? And the victims can't, there are victims who can afford, but there are victims who cannot afford. So all these are lumped up and the quantum goes up.
See, if it was given an opportunity, we always feel that rehabilitation, early intervention is the most important thing. Mm. So if you're given someone an opportunity, as Mr. Das has claimed, that you're given an opportunity to say the interim payment, then I'm going to go to the process of the rehab. And obviously my outcome is going to be much better. My disability is going to be less.
Potentially both legally as well as medically, your outcomes will be better.
Much better. So the point is, and then if it comes to court, obviously the quantum of payment, the court awards is going to be much lesser because I've gone through the whole process and I've come out well. Yeah. But if I've not gone through the process and you're giving me a quantum that's paid out to this person, but he's still not going to go for the whole process of rehab, then it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, correct. Basically, compensation, the idea of compensation is must be reflective to the injuries suffered, number one. Number two, it must be fair compensation. You know, the law doesn't say it is. It must be perfect compensation. Fair. Because it's unfortunate incidents, you see. But now it would appear, I used to say this, and I'm sorry if I'm saying it again, that accident is no longer a misfortune, but has become a sort of a fortune, a windmill, a windfall.
Yeah? So the system needs rejigging then?
Yes, indeed.
So who are the parties that need to be involved in this discussion of creating a uniform system?
I would say the government, the insurance industry, the medical profession, legal profession, they all should be involved. Even I would invite the consumers in an association to get involved in this. Because this is growing to become a horrible situation, and I can see it as a real, real social problem.
Because it's going to be a lack of trust on all fronts as well.
Yes. So how are we going to deal with it? And we have to deal with it very quickly. No? That's my view. That's my view.
So how do you think we can get the ball rolling and, you know, start coming up with a proposal that can then be pushed through for policy?
I think to start off with, the Malaysian Healthy Aging Society, led by Professor Nathan, we are having this seminar on medical disability and assessment of damages on 6th and 7th of July. So in this, we are trying to bring out the salient points which will help all the professions to identify the areas which are causing problems and find solutions. And then if we can, we will put some work together and put some recommendations to the government, with the help of the insurance industry, or with their consent, so that we can see something very good for the future.
So we're hoping to come up with some form of consensus statements here. And obviously, it's going to cover all the different aspects of discipline due to injuries due to in accidents. So we can get it.
Not only the injuries, the effect of it.
Is it?
Because it's a long drawn process, and it has far reaching consequences.
And sometimes even it comes a process where in court you have reports from four or five doctors writing a report, or and end of the day, I think one of the things is looking at possibly streamlining it. Like in UK system is where they have got one report agreed by both lawyers, and it's, and then agree on one hit, rather than a patient bouncing from three, four reports.
I think the UK system is very good. Even though the plaintiff has won, the insurance company will say, no, we want you to be examined by our own doctor. And if the two medical reports conflict, then the court says, okay, get a neutral, a third party. So you get the good, I mean, what do you call them, unbiased report.
There's a balance. Okay. Who should go for the event? Is it only open to sort of industry professionals or, you know, anybody?
Well, actually, it's mainly meant for the people in the insurance industry and the legal fraternity as well. And obviously, the medical professionals, basically, people are looking in the area of disability and assessment of damages, you know, so that's mainly. But obviously, there could be also an interest by some of the public who may want to come and listen to how, or they may be. One of the things that we are having during the forum is actually someone has gone through the whole process through the system, and she's actually functioning very well. So she's going to give her own experiences of how long it took for her to come out with the claims and everything, and that's it's nothing like getting it right from the horse's mouth, you know.
And that's on the 6th and the 7th of July. Where can they go to get more information?
Well, one of the things is they can get to the Melbourne Healthy Aging Society info at healthyaging.com, and that's a place where they should be able to get the information from. Or the other thing is they can always ring up the phone number of the Malaysian Healthy Aging Society, which is 2070 5600. I repeat, 2070 5600, and you know, they'll be able to put them on to the process and things concerned. The whole idea is to create awareness in terms of disability, to understand the needs for a comprehensive assessment, to look at a multidisciplinary approach of the whole thing, and obviously the cost evaluation of quantum of disabilities. I think that's the most important thing.
I would just stress this, the social responsibility, number one. We need the insurance companies to be strong, and carry out their social responsibility in a broad way. We don't want them to go bust. You know? We don't want them to go bust. And at the same time, we do not want the victims to suffer.
It can, isn't it? Insurance companies go bust because of
this
whole thing.
They can, but one has gone, I won't mention the name, one has gone. But if they are not careful, such a disaster can strike again.
Right.
So we'll have to see we must see that it doesn't happen.
It really is a matter then of striking the balance of being fair and compensating the people who need it, right? Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks very much for having us.
I've been speaking to Professor Nathan Vithilingam. He is a professor of occupational therapy at Padana University. He's also the president of the Asia-Pacific Occupational Therapy Regional Group, as well as Kay Siladas, who is a lawyer who's had many, many years of experience in this field. We've been talking about medical disability and assessment of damages on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.